Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the world according to Velvet. This is Velvet reporting live from planet Earth here in Whitefish, Montana at Rocks and Things Metaphysical, conjunct the center of the galaxy. Anyway, it's been a couple weeks since I've been here. I was gallivanting across the pond. I went to the British Isles and had some really cool experiences. And there's nobody here to talk, so I guess I'm just going to talk. If anybody wants to come in and join in the conversation, we'll be going for about a half an hour. Anyway, so I went over to Ireland and the UK thinking I was going to be doing something, but by a couple days into it, I realized I had to quit trying to control my trip and go with the flow, which, you know, I kind of intended to, but then when I got there, I had this list of things that I wanted to do, and I didn't hardly do any of them. However, I did have an amazing time, and I'm going to just talk a little bit about what my experience was. But before I do, I just want to tell you about some of the things that are going on here at the shop. We're still teaching, Renee Sidikar is still teaching Kundalini Yoga. She'll be here for, I think, another week, and then she goes over to the east side to do her Serrano's work at the Mexican restaurant. So that's Tuesday at 9 and Wednesday at 5:30. Wednesday at 8, I am doing my crystal bowl meditation. And Fridays, I am teaching yoga at 7, and we do sadhana at 4 a.m. That's 7 a.m. I'm a morning person, at least right now. So I'm not doing my sacred body posture class. I've kind of taken a hiatus. I feel like I need to integrate what happened in Ireland before I can do my next class. So who knows when that'll be. The other thing that's happening is a couple of weeks ago at the right before I left, we started a group dreaming group. Okay, that's a little redundant, but what we're working on is learning how to dream together and dreaming in a waking state, and then who knows how it will shift into the sleep time, dream time. So the next time we're doing this group dreaming is we're going to do it on June 2nd. That is a Tuesday. It's the full moon, and we've been working with we're going to start doing it on the new moon and the full moon, or as close to it as we can get with our schedules. And it will be a full moon in Sagittarius. And Sagittarius, this full moon in Sagittarius is considered the full, it's called the Festival of Man. And this full moon in Sagittarius is the third of three powerful spring full moons, in which the first one was the full moon in Libra, which is the Festival of Christ. Then the full moon in Taurus it's full moon in Scorpio, was the Festival of Buddha. It was more associated with Buddha. And then this last full moon is the Festival of Man, and it's tied to being connecting our animal nature with our spiritual nature. And that's kind of the Sag energy. So anyway, we're going to do that probably about 7:30, quarter to 8 on Tuesday the 2nd after the farmer's market. We're going to meet over there, and we're going to sit by the matrix holder for our community, and we're going to do some community dreaming. Which this dreaming thing has been on my mind a lot since we started this dreaming group. And when I was on my trip, I don't remember a lot about my dreams, but I felt like this conscious dreaming work that I did before I left, it kind of opened me up to something. Because while I was on my trip, I felt like I was dreaming with the collective. For example, when I was in London, I felt like I was dreaming with that collective. And then when I went to Ireland, I felt like I was dreaming with that collective. And then the last night of our trip, we spent in Iceland, and I really felt like I was dreaming with that collective. So I feel like this dream work is really significant. The other thing that I noticed when I was traveling is, well, obviously, you know, each country is different because I didn't make it to Scotland, not this time, but we went to England, we went to Wales, Ireland, and Iceland. And I'm kind of really fascinated with island cultures and how, what it feels like to be on an island energetically. And I'd always thought of island cultures as being more feminine. However, you know, when I was in England, it didn't feel very feminine to me. And I've been thinking a lot about the whole, all the karma that my English ancestors created, and even, you know, our origins as a culture, you know, are very much derived and descended from the English. You know, when I was there, I went to a couple of museums, a few museums, and I saw the power that English culture had. And for such a small country, they dominated the world, and not in a pretty way. And I've been thinking a lot about, my mind was, well, why was that allowed to happen, that a small group of people were able to oppress and enslave and manipulate the whole world? And it's brought up all kinds of things for me. And then because I am English, and I'm Irish, and I'm Scottish, and I'm Welsh, and I even, through doing this ancestry.com, I even have some Icelandic ancestors. So everywhere I went, you know, I was walking in the footsteps of my ancestors. And what I really noticed, and I don't know if I was projecting anything, because, you know, we can do that, but what I was connecting with was the anger that the Irish still have towards the British. And I can totally understand it. You know, it's probably very similar to the way the Native Americans felt, and even, you know, how African Americans feel towards white people, because the British enslaved and oppressed and abused and starved and slaughtered the Irish for 800 years. And, you know, here in Montana, the cultural memory isn't very long. You know, Whitefish became a state in 1905. And so I think when you think about people being dominated for 800 years by their neighbors, it was kind of mind-boggling to me. And, you know, because my husband is a historian, you know, we did a lot of talking about the history and went to museums and stuff. And the Irish, you know, I don't think anybody's a victim. And this is kind of one of the things that came up, is like, you know, what happened and why did the Irish allow themselves to be dominated for 800 years? And second of all, was it karmic at all? Was there something that the Irish had done that kind of set themselves up for that? You know, and I don't have all the answers, of course, obviously. I only have like a couple answers, but I don't even know if they're real. However, you know, one of the stories that did come before I went and then kind of got expanded while I was over there is the notion that Ireland is holds a key piece of the puzzle as it relates to Atlantis. There are certain people that believe that Ireland was a part of Atlantis. Okay, some people say that when before Atlantis fell, that a bunch of the people left Atlantis and went to Ireland, but there are others who believe that Ireland actually was a part of Atlantis. And so one of the things that I felt while I was there is that Ireland has ancient knowledge that has been hidden and sort of, you might say, kept safe through all of this oppression. Because not only did the British oppress them, but they, after about 900, like 917 is when the Vikings took hold, and then about 100 years later the Normans came in, and then the British. And so it was like wave after wave of, you could say, genetic seeding to Ireland. And my mind wants to know, well, that served a purpose, and yet all of that oppression hid lots of gifts. And just from my own experience with trauma is that my trauma has caused me on some level to suppress certain gifts that as I heal the trauma are now coming into form and being expressed in the world. And what if it's just all perfect, right? So, you know, one of the things that the Irish are known for is their music. We got to listen to some traditional music, and I think that's another thing that struck me is how influenced our country has been by the Irish. You know, a lot of the music that we have in our culture right now came from those Irish people that were driven out of Ireland and came to America. Because, well, even like the accordion and the pipe and the banjo, a lot of these were played in these Celtic cultures before they came to America. And the type of music I felt was, I teach Kundalini Yoga, and with the mantra work, there is a cadence and a rhythm to the mantra sound, to the nod, they call it in Kundalini Yoga, that I feel like there is a certain nod or rhythm or cadence that is really important to the Irish music. And I don't know if a long time ago, traditionally, that the Irish would trance dance, but I could feel that kind of energy from the music without the singing. When there were songs, you know, they sing the same songs over and over and over, and I thought on some level that it's the rhythm of the music that takes you places. When they put their stories or words to the songs, a lot of times it felt to me like it's their songs that on some level are keeping them trapped in their painful memories. And that eventually it could lead them to heal it, but right now it feels like it's keeping them stuck. And there's this fine line between remembering the past and getting stuck in the past. You know, because that whole theory, those who forget the past are deemed to repeat the past. But there's also the notion that, you know, we can't live in the past. We have to move forward. We have to let go of what's happened in the past and heal from the past so that we can be in the present moment. And I felt like this is just the world according to Velvet, but it felt to me like collectively Ireland on some levels is progressive. They're voting about the Marriage Equality Act this week. I heard it in the news when we came home, and there were posters everywhere. They're more for marriage equality than against marriage equality, which surprised me and surprised my husband, who is Irish Catholic, that that it's up for a vote already. But at the same time, I feel like a lot of the Irish are stuck in their wounds. I noticed a lot of young men who, I know that Ireland is one of the highest consumers per capita of alcohol on our planet, and I got to witness that consumption, and it made me really sad. And it seemed like it was the young men, these big, strapping Irishmen, by 2 p.m. kind of being blotto. So I felt kind of sad for that. But I know that, again, that if they are trapped in collective pain and powerlessness, then their alcohol helps them not have to feel that. So it's it's keeping them, so you might say, safe until it's time for them to wake up. That's the other thing that I felt, is that we may think here in America that people aren't awake. But to me, and maybe it's just because I was in cities and people are so guarded in cities, I felt like people are more awake here. And I didn't think people were very awake here, but it felt like they were more awake here than in those cities over there. Again, that's a generalization, a gross generalization, and forgive me, I don't mean to offend anybody. So that was an interesting observation. But the most interesting thing that happened to me is that, I wanted to go to Stonehenge, and I wanted to go to Tara, the Hill of Tara, and I wanted to go to Newgrange, but the universe had other plans for me, and I wound up on sacred land that not very many people get to experience. So there was a book I read a few years ago about how a lot of these sacred sites are built at very specific latitudes. Stonehenge itself is at 51 degrees latitude, okay? And that there is significance in that. There is a big medicine wheel up in Canada that's at 51 degrees. I think 40 degrees is an important latitude. And I'm trying to end well around the equator. However, where I went was at 51 degrees. And it was a place which I don't know if I'm going to speak to it. If people want to come and ask me, I'll share that information with you, but I feel like I want to keep that place sacred for a while longer, unknown for a while longer. But this place at 51 degrees had hundreds of stone circles, hundreds, and was amazing in its beauty, and I was surprised that there were mountains. I knew that there were hills and that what they called mountains, but these were some good-sized mountains, and this place really spoke to me. I came into this place, and my heart just went boom. It burst open, and I just cried because I don't know if I'd been there before or I was just feeling the power and the energy of the land. I felt it, and Ireland is a pretty amazing place, and this place was more spectacular. So then the other place that I went was these caves. And these caves in Western Ireland, I think, hold a really important piece of the puzzle energetically to the grid of the planet. And I'm still in the process of developing what this is about, but these caves, it's called I'm not going to pronounce it right, calcite. Okay, so it's calcite. And I don't know if I've talked to you about the piezoelectricity and pyroelectricity, piezo and pyroelectricity of calcite and quartz, and how there was sort of a prophecy about a frequency of consciousness that would be brought to our planet and anchored on our planet through calcite and quartz. And this consciousness, you can buy the stones, it's called a zestulite. And theoretically, according to the prophecy, eventually all of the quartz and calcite on the planet will have this frequency. And the azestulite is a frequency towards which we as humanity, to which humanity is moving. And it's the Azez are a race of beings that come from what's called the central sun. And they come to a planet when a planet is going through a shift in consciousness, and they anchor in their energy to support that shift. And that's what the Azestulite energy is. And it feels to me, and I don't understand yet because I don't have this whole grid thing all figured out, but it feels to me like that series of caves is very much tied, ooh, I get chills, is very much tied to the planet holding and conducting, you might say, that energy. So these caves were significant to me because I think I kind of got woke up to their importance, and then I learned more later, because there is cave there that they found a brown bear skull in. And I didn't know, I knew there were bears, that there had been bears in Ireland, but I didn't realize they were a brown bear and that they are very similar to our grizzly. And here in Montana, we have grizzlies, and it's a medicine that I work with, and it's tied to primal feminine energy. So anyway, this cave system is very much tied to bear energy, grizzly bear energy, and it's very much tied, I get the sense of, that it's tied to this consciousness and its ability to conduct this consciousness through the grid system of the planet. Now, I just made that up just now as we're talking, but I got chills, so there's something to it. So that place, I feel like I have to go back. I have to go back to Western Ireland and spend time with that energy of the calcite. The other thing that was in that area was the hill or the cliffs of Mora. And these are these magnificent cliffs that you see in pictures of Ireland. And it was there that I had a past life flashback of being pushed off a cliff, pushed off that one of those cliffs into the ocean by a historical figure who I'm not going to say who it is right now. Some of you know, but this historical figure pushed me off this cliff. And as I'm falling, I point back up at him and I said, I thought we had a deal. You know, I thought we were going to work through this. I thought we were going to balance some of this masculine, feminine energy, but it didn't work that way. And I died, and I carried a little bit of karma about that. Carried a little bit of a judgment about being pushed off that cliff, but I think I retrieved that piece of me, and something new and expansive and fun is going to happen as a result. So the other place that really struck me was Iceland. I think Iceland is holds a really important piece of the puzzle as it relates to this dragon energy that I talked about before I left. To me, Iceland has, boy, I don't know if they're three-dimensional, but it feels to me like Iceland has more dragons per capita. I know there's not that many people there, so, but it has more dragons there than anywhere else on the planet. And one of the things I got about dragons before I left, and then, you know, how the universe works, this was confirmed by other people in other writings, that dragon energy is those who are dragons, and the dragon race originally was direct from the Great Mother. It is the feminine energy. It's tied to the Sophia energy. And to me, the Sophia energy, the dragon energy, that wisdom energy is very strong in Iceland. The other thing that I came to discover about dragons, or at least this is theory right now, everything I talk about is theory, but that dragons are very much associated with volcanoes. And one of the stories that I have been working on right now is a story about dragons and what happened with dragons. Dragons, as I understand it, are tied to a grid system on the planet that the Chinese, I think, call dragon lines. To me, dragon lines or serpent lines are not like, they don't run straight, like a latitude or a longitude line. What they do is they move like water or like a snake, and they go into the earth, into the lower realms, and then they come up to the middle earth, and then they go up into the upper worlds. And so that energy moves like water, and I think sometimes through water, and dragons ride those lines. So when I went to Ireland, I thought I was going to open up the dragon lines that had been shut down by St. Patrick when he cursed the navel of Ireland. That's not what I did. Instead, what I learned was more dragon history. I feel like if it is my job, so to speak, to open up the dragon lines in Ireland, I have to know more of the history. We just got a new guest. We just got a guest for our World According to Development radio show. Oh, they're fleeing. Okay, well, they don't have to go on air. I only have a couple minutes left. So do you guys want to say anything? They are two young, beautiful women who will remain nameless, but they have some pretty dang cute dogs. Do you have anything to say? So anyway, I will, if nobody comes next week for my radio show, I will continue this discussion next week. Otherwise, this is Velvet reporting live from planet Earth. Over and out. Hey.